more important than a lesson on friendships. The three of them peeked their heads out of the alley they were hiding in. Down the street, a crowd of people were gathering outside of one of the Iron Quarter taverns. Cries of anguish and fearful whispers echoed down the street as the guards brought out headless body after headless body. "This is really bad," Claire whispered. "The slime must have gone into a feeding frenzy last night. An entire tavern filled with people. It must have been starving for quite some time." "That doesn't make any sense," Millie whispered back. "The slime has been attacking one person for weeks now. It even ate that woman almost a week ago. How can it be starving if it has been following a routine?" "Maybe the slime only ate one person a week because it was getting its food from elsewhere," Rowan theorized. "I mean, I'm sure the demons have done a wonderful job devouring everything they can get their hands on. The hunters haven't been bringing back much game from the forest recently." "But slimes can eat anything, even plants and stone," Millie argued. "Why is it so focused on heads? Is there such a thing as a head slime?" "Not yet," Claire murmured. "But maybe Doc can try experimenting." A loud voice from behind the three barked at them.
"Hey, you kids, what are you doing?"
Claire hid in Millie's pocket as the two teens jumped in surprise. They turned to discover three guards examining them from the road.
"We're curious to see what's happening," Millie chirped. "We could hear the commotion all the way from the guild classroom."
"Well, stop and leave immediately," said the head guard. "This is no place for a child. Leave this mess to trained professionals. Go home."
"Right away, sir,"
Rowan nodded, grabbing Millie's arm and pulling her away.
"Let me go,"
she insisted, struggling against his grip.
"What trained professionals? They can't even track down the culprit."
"Quiet," Rowan whispered, as he glanced back at the guards from the corner of his eye.
"We need more information, and they seem like the ones to get it from. Besides, you don't have your daggers, remember? You shouldn't pick a fight now."
Millie pouted and slouched in Rowan's grip.
"Well, what are we supposed to do then? In order to use a tracking beast, we need some sample of the slime. Even if the guards aren't smart enough to try, they have to have something we can use from the crime scene."
"I know," Rowan agreed, "which is why our next step is going to require your charm magic and a lone guard. Feel up to it?" Millie immediately stopped struggling and instead used her superior strength to break free, turn around, and hold Rowan in an excited hug.
"You want me to use my charm magic? Yay! I've been waiting to show off my powers to Claire."
"All right, all right." Rowan struggled in her grip. "Yes, we're going to use your charm magic, so can you please let me go?"
"Nope," Millie said cheerfully. "You pulled me, so now I'm dragging you. Feel free to complain, but I still have 3 or 4 years on you."
Rowan gave up struggling and relaxed his body into dead weight. Millie rolled her eyes and slung Rowan over her shoulder like a sack of flour.
"This is incredibly humiliating," Rowan muttered. "I'm a grown... well, I'm not a child anymore."
"Don't worry," Claire teased from the pocket. "She's not treating you like a child. She's treating you like a sack."
"That wouldn't be too unexpected, actually,"
Rowan muttered as he gave up and pretended he was dead, ignoring the giggles and chuckles from pedestrians passing by. Millie put Rowan down a few minutes later, and the two resumed their serious search for a lone guard. After spying on a few patrols, they finally came across a single guard hurrying down an alley. He was clearly late to something. Rowan coughed into his fist and signaled for Millie to begin. Millie gave him a big thumbs up before running and tripping in front of the alley exit. The guard soon came upon her and ignored her as he hurried away down the alley.
"How dare a guard ignore a damsel in distress?" Millie roared angrily after Rowan helped her up. "Are there no moral standards for being a guard these days? I want my taxes back."
"We don't pay taxes. We're not adults yet," Rowan provided helpfully.
"Anyway, I guess we either need to chase after that guard or find another one."
"Chase," Millie growled.
"Wait," Claire cried out in their minds.
Let me help.
The two teens heard a cry and a crash from the other end of the alley. With matching grins, Rowan and Millie ran towards the sound until they discovered the source, a slightly confused soldier who had somehow tripped into a stack of crates. Claire stuck her body out of Millie's pocket and made a double thumbs up with her hands.
Earth magic! Gotta trip them all!
Thanks, Claire.
Rowan winked at her.
All right, Millie, your turn.
With a winning smile, Millie walked over to the fallen soldier and bent down to look the soldier in the eye.
What?
The soldier began to regain his facilities.
Shh,
Millie whispered, holding her finger up to her mouth.
I need your help, soldier. Can you help me?
Millie's eyes began to glow a low red, and the soldier's eyes soon glowed the same color.
I want to help you, the soldier murmured, but I'm late.
It won't take long, and I really need your help,
Millie pouted sadly.
I just need some questions answered, that's all.
Okay.
The soldier's eyes glowed a deep red as he smiled dopily. Rowan chuckled softly as he shook his head.
Your power is as scary as ever, Millie. This is why I don't look you in the eyes when we fight over dessert.
Millie's face twitched, but she kept her pleasant smile on as she ignored Rowan.
Mr. Soldier, I need to know if anyone found part of the culprit at the tavern massacre.
We found some, the soldier replied truthfully.
Where is it? Millie pressed.
Headquarters. The soldier's smile seemed to grow smaller.
Why are you in a rush?
The soldier's smile faded further into an expression of puzzlement.
I'm late to the general's meeting. I need to deliver some news. Why am I telling you this?
Sleep,
Millie ordered loudly. The soldier's eyes rolled into his head, and he slumped back. Millie pursed her lips.
What a disappointment. I'm still too weak to keep the spell up for long. At least he won't remember this conversation.
Yeah, that's if we beat it before he wakes up,
Rowan reminded her.
Let's get out of here.
The three companions raced away, Claire diving her head back into Millie's pocket. Once they were clear of the alley, Rowan pursed his lips and leaned against a building.
So, what we need is at the headquarters, he summarized. And that headquarters happens to be crawling with soldiers, guards, and any number of magic spells guarding them all. Any ideas?
Break in,
Claire piped up from the pocket.
No,
Millie and Rowan said together.
Not you guys, me.
Even worse of an idea,
Rowan deadpanned.
If anything happens to you, this whole town will end. Why don't we plan out a heist using our combined magical talents?
Sure, but your magic takes too long to activate, both of you. Millie, no offense, can barely keep a conversation for more than a few minutes. Meanwhile, my spying can be done without any effort. Besides, I'm tired of staying in this pocket. I want to do something important for the investigation.
I like Rowan's plan better, Millie declared.
It's safer, and we can plan ahead.
Claire turned her head and pouted at Rowan. Rowan threw his hands into the air.
Don't come to me with those puppy dog faces. I want no part of this.
Well, since you are the deciding vote,
Claire pointed out diplomatically,
it would be wiser to make one person happy by choosing rather than upsetting two people with inaction. By the way, who are you going to live with longer, her or me?
In that case, no,
Rowan declared. Claire tapped her finger against her head.
Overruled.
With that, she vanished. Rowan and Millie both groaned. Neither one of them could hold a candle to the trickster nature of the pixie. They could only let her go through with whatever she decided.
We're getting those daggers of yours back after this meeting,
Rowan vowed.
At this rate, we're going to be fighting the whole blasted city.
All right, I'm in position,
Claire reported from her hiding spot inside the main army headquarters. She peeked over the books she was hiding behind on the bookshelf, directly next to the map table.
I can hear you loud and clear,
Rowan's voice sounded in her mind.
Oh,
and Millie says she's going to bake some snacks for us when you're done.
I love snacks. Wait, shh,
she said suddenly.
I think the meeting is starting.
She used her magic to enchant her ears so Rowan would hear what she heard.
How bad was the attack? Prince James asked the guard captain in front of him.
It was one of the worst massacres I've ever seen, the captain said. My prince, the tavern was filled with bodies, lying in every possible position. No one was spared, from customer to dish cleaner. It looks like they put up as much of a fight as they could while drunk, but we found no enemy bodies among our own. Everyone who died passed the same as the beheaded murder victims. The priests have been requested to cleanse the building of resentful spirits, but I doubt the building will ever be used again.
Thank you, Captain. You are dismissed.
James waved his hand. The captain bowed and exited the room. James sighed as he rubbed his forehead. He gazed around at his three advisors and the few generals in the command room.
This incident does not reflect well on us, my prince, Annabelle spoke up. My children are hearing many reports about the citizens of this town being quite disenchanted with your rule. Having sent all the adventurers away and taken over the responsibility of guarding the town, it appears you have made yourself a wonderful source of their frustrations.
James fixed Anna with a glower. Your venomous tongue hasn't changed at all, even with this crisis? Anna giggled. A loud slap echoed the room. Everyone stared in surprise at Alfred, who had slapped Anna across the face. He glared down at her shocked expression.
You are in the presence of His Highness, and will show him the appropriate level of respect, Alfred barked. Or you risk losing your position and life. Is that understood?
I'm sorry,
Anna apologized, getting on the floor and bowing her body toward James.
I'm so sorry, my prince. My speech was inappropriate.
James winced at the display of groveling and waved his hand. As long as you've learned your lesson, you are forgiven. Josh, as captain of my guard, what are your thoughts on this matter? Josh frowned.
An attack of this scale has completely destroyed morale within the town and our troops. The fear of being attacked is growing, and this unrest could easily grow until it reaches a stage of complete and utter panic. This situation is the worst possible problem we could have while under siege. We must quickly find a way to improve morale, or we risk riots.
I see. Alfred, what are the best options? James pressed. Alfred tapped his chin in thought.
The Rangers should be preparing to complete their mission soon. Given the time it takes to travel, they could be back as early as 2 days or as late as 4. If they return successful, then morale will naturally improve. However, if they fail, then all is lost. To avoid risking our chances, we must find a cause, event, or person within the next 2 days to raise morale to a level where either the Rangers' success inspires the people, or their failure is negated by our success. To that end, he continued, our best solution would be to find the culprit and punish them publicly. We need the real culprit, ideally, but a scapegoat will suffice.
A scapegoat? That would mean lying to the people and letting a murderer run loose, Prince James pointed out darkly. If we were to execute a scapegoat and allow the murders to continue, no one would place trust in the royalty again.
I understand your concern, Your Highness, but before you set your mind, allow me to read the report on all the beheaded victims, Alfred pleaded.
Seeing James nod his head, Alfred pulled out a scroll and read it aloud.
All victims have had their heads removed by alchemic melting, Alfred announced. The same method was used in every case, and the alchemical fluid used strongly resembles that of a slime's.
The generals began muttering to themselves. James held up his hand for quiet. A slime did all this? I highly doubt a slime would have the cunning and reasoning to pull off their attacks and hide their trail. Perhaps someone with a tamed slime is using it to commit murder, he suggested.
I've checked the records, Your Highness,
Josh spoke up.
And there are no tamers currently registered with a pet slime in town. The few adventurers who possess tamer skills have left with the rangers. The tamers among the elves do not tame anything besides beasts. If someone possessed a tamed slime, then they would have had to come forth for taming supplies at some point. It is highly unlikely.
Someone could have made a mistake, or maybe someone sneaked in, a general argued. After all, we brought many refugees with us from Durin, and who knows if one of them is a spy?
The murders began before the fall of Durin, Alfred pointed out. So I doubt this is a spy we brought with us. I have a strong suspicion, but I hesitate to say it.
Do not falter, Alfred, James urged. I trust your counsel. What are you thinking?
I've spoken with the head witch, Helen, Alfred said slowly, and she agreed with my conclusion. The dungeon is responsible for the attacks, for it has become corrupted.
The room was filled with noise as everyone began talking at once.
Quiet!
Josh bellowed. Alfred, surely this cannot be, James asked in disbelief. This dungeon has been highly stable, and the entire town relies on its treasure and loot. To falsely implicate it is to risk the wrath of the entire town and the Adventurers Guild.
I share your dismay, but I regret to say that the dungeon is the most likely culprit,
Alfred sighed in regret.
The witch Helen showed me records of past dungeons that became corrupted after their food source dropped. Dungeons grow as we do, and their appetites grow proportionally. In the last few weeks, fewer and fewer adventurers have been entering the dungeon, and even less have died within it. Thus, it began to feed outside the dungeon to satisfy its hunger. However, every adventurer left a few days ago. Not even the miners will enter the dungeon now, in fear for the oozes they could unearth. The dungeon must be starving, and it acted out of a need for self-preservation, and devoured an entire tavern of citizens.
James crossed his fingers and bent his head down in contemplation. I won't say this logic is false, Alfred. I just hope none of it is true. However, if that is the case, then we must do something. While I can respect another individual's desire to live, I won't tolerate the death of my subjects. Generals, what would be our chances to eliminate the dungeon if it were indeed the culprit?
Not good, sir,
one responded.
Our men were never trained to fight slimes, and our equipment has been enchanted to repel demons and their kin. Not only that, but the tunnels are too small to support the army's standard method of fighting. Our formations would be worthless. Our men were never trained to fight in such close confinement, where an attack could come in any direction. Many would die fighting their way down, leaving the town defenseless against a demon attack.
Actually, I have a solution, Alfred spoke up with an enlightened smile. I went to the witch not only to confirm my findings, but also because she has been working on an enchantment for weapons and armor. An anti-dungeon enchantment, if you will, much like Goblin Bane and Human Killer enchantments. She just needs a few days to perfect the formula, and we will have an army equipped with weapons and armor capable of defeating any dungeon on the world. No longer would weapons and armor have to be treated for individual monsters. Instead, they can be treated to destroy any and all dungeon-created monsters.
The room was filled with sounds of interest as generals nodded and aides whispered to each other. The general consensus seemed that everyone was moved by the idea.
Sir, wouldn't this new enchantment rid us of the Demon Bane enchantments?
A different general spoke up.
We would be defenseless against a demon onslaught if they attacked us without them.
You are correct, Alfred nodded. Our iron weapons can only hold one Bane type of enchantment at a time. Have no fear, because I have signed a deal with Witch Helen to mass-produce Demon Bane potions as soon as she is done researching the Dungeon Bane enchantment. That way, once the dungeon is dead, we can use the potions to bring ourselves back to fighting strength.
A few days, James considered. However, you said earlier that we needed to do something before the adventurers came back to raise morale. As you also mentioned earlier, we have about 3 days.
You are quite right to notice that, my prince. We should announce later today the identity of the culprit, the dungeon, and our plans to subdue it. We will transfer all the frustration and negativity that has been building up in town to the dungeon, and then we shall become the conquering heroes who saved the town. Once the people are distracted, morale will begin to rise as they realize the danger will soon end.
Prince James thought long and hard before announcing his decision. Begin preparations today, but do not make any announcement, James ordered. I want to have a talk with Master Mary before we do anything too drastic. Assist Witch Helen with anything she needs. Give her access to our stockade so she can finish her enchantment.
But, sir, Alfred protested, she will try to stop you for sure.
Better I make her aware now than going behind her back, James affirmed. Civil conflicts should be decided amongst all leaders, especially the ones who understand their territory. You will do nothing until I order it. Not only that, but if we do come to the conclusion that the dungeon must be destroyed, then it is paramount that the adventurers join us and lend their expertise. They have the most experience with this dungeon, after all.
Alfred sighed, but nodded. Understood, my prince. Your wish is my command.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. Oh, no,
Claire muttered in distress as she watched the people leave the room.
This is terrible, horrible, and the worst thing that could happen. Rowan, what do we do? What can we do?
Claire, you need to calm down. Panicking isn't going to help us or Doc. Our goal is the same. We need to find the wild slime to prove Doc's innocence.
But if this whole town thinks Doc is the murderer, then killing a wild slime isn't going to help anymore. We don't have the influence to change the minds of everyone in town. They want someone to punish, and Doc is an easy target.
We don't, but the Adventurer Guild does, Rowan pointed out. Millie and I are friends with Master Mary, and she's a calm and rational person. I'm sure she'd rather kill the real culprit as opposed to slaying a scapegoat and letting the murders continue. I'm sure that if we explain our plan and the evidence we have, she'll work with us to prove Doc's innocence.
I'm the source of your evidence, Claire cried internally. There's no way I'm going anywhere near the Adventurers Guild. That's suicide.
Fine, then Millie and I will do it, Rowan said calmly, holding up his hands to placate the panicking pixie. You heard the prince. He wants to talk to the guildmaster too, so we still have time. We just need you to locate a good tracking beast in the elf district while we talk to the guildmaster tomorrow.
Monsters are scary too.
Then, I don't know, bring some warg fur or something to hide your scent. Which is scarier, the tracking beast or the guild?
Fine, I'll find the monster sniffer, Claire muttered in defeat. But why wait till tomorrow?
We can't leave the tavern, Rowan muttered reluctantly. Fred came home and is in full concerned parent mode after hearing about the massacre. He won't let Millie and I out of the house for the rest of the day. In fact, he's going to take the time to walk us to and from the guild starting tomorrow.
What? So now what?
Claire began to cry in the bookshelf.
I don't want Doc to die. He's my best friend.
All isn't lost, Rowan reminded her. You heard the prince. He doesn't want to risk his troops without the adventurers. Millie and I will use our trip to the guild tomorrow to speak with Mary. We will do our best to convince her and the prince not to attack. You use the time tomorrow to find that tracker dog. For now, come back to the knifed zombie. You need rest. Claire wiped her eyes.
All right, I'll do it. Don't worry, Doc. I'll prove your innocence, even if it means fighting a bird or an entire army.
Chapter 16. In a room filled with darkness, no torches to light the walls, water dripped down somewhere in the stillness, alongside the raspy sounds of breathing. The sounds of metal chains echoed through the black.
"My sweet," a voice came through the darkness. "My sweet, dear love. Now, why don't you tell me exactly what was going through your mind when you decided to jeopardize my plan? I'm ever so curious."
By the faint sound of breathing, there were two other people in the room, one near the chains and one near the speaker. A soft, female mumble shifted through the room.
"I'm sorry, sir. Please forgive me," the woman begged pitifully.
The speaker clicked his tongue.
"Now, now, answer the question for me."
The chains rattled as the woman seemed to struggle to see her accuser.
"My love."
A slap shattered the silence of the void.
"Enough. Answer the question."
The prisoner gulped and wetted her lips.
Master, I was just infuriated about how such a low being can command you so easily. You are a lord among men, a god in human guise, my one in everything. I wanted him to feel anger, to realize his mistakes, and how everything rested on his shoulders. I wanted him to feel fear. I wanted him to suffer for offending you so.
"Oh, my sweet dear," the speaker sighed. "Your feeble little mind is still so limited. I obey him because it suits my plans. Why should I not be loyal to him? It was he who allowed us the opportunity to rise from our lowly station. In fact, when this is all over, I plan on letting him live as thanks." "But," the speaker growled, his steps echoing as he walked forward and seemingly grabbed the prisoner by the hair. "That's only if the plan succeeds. He needs to feel reliant on me, and you making him feel weak and insecure about my counsel now is improper. I don't want him remembering whose idea it was to make changes in town. It's already bad enough that this murderer is mucking up our plans. It only barely worked out that this incident lines up with the next phase. Do you know what will happen to us if we fail?"
As if to illustrate his point, the speaker hissed in pain and released the prisoner to the floor. A faint, barely visible light shone from the speaker's chest. The speaker clutched at it and growled out in pain. The third in the room came forward to help the speaker.
"The mistresses call me," the speaker muttered. "They want an update. Stay here and release her once her wounds are healed. I know she has learned her lesson."
The third person grunted, but said nothing in reproach. The speaker opened the door, allowing light to illuminate the room.
"They should be starting soon," he murmured, and the candle-lit walls outside the room seemed to darken.
"Mistress Helen!"
A witch knocked on the door of her leader's room.
"Mistress Helen, are you in there? The meeting is happening very soon." "Come in,"
Helen's voice came through the door. The witch hurried inside and almost jumped in surprise at the mess. The previously organized workroom was covered in papers, books, and potion ingredient bottles, some of which bubbled dangerously.
"Mistress, what are you doing that's so important that you haven't cleaned?"
the witch wondered silently, as she picked up a piece of paper and stared at it. It was covered in many glyphs and magical symbols, many written over the others haphazardly and without reason.
"This way, over here,"
the witch heard Helen call.
"I believe I've made a breakthrough."
The witch hurried over through the piles of books toward the voice, finding Helen leaning over an alchemic device.
"Mistress, isn't that from the Alchemy Guild?"
the witch wondered.
"I thought you abhorred using the tools of the other enchantment guilds."
"Enough fuss. Come here and look,"
Helen ordered, without turning around or answering the question.
"I think I've finally done it. An enchantment to answer all our problems."
"You've solved the Dungeon Bane enchantment?"
the witch exclaimed.
"That's amazing.
Oh, we must let everyone know. You'll be famous once we escape this country.
The witch walked over to Helen's side and gazed over her shoulder.
More than famous, Helen muttered. I'll be the best, and everyone will know that. No one will dare look down upon me.
Confused, the witch examined the golden, glowing potion in front of Helen. To her, the potion seemed to radiate light that was reflecting off everything, including her mistress's eyes. Upon looking more carefully, however, the witch realized Helen's eyes were a deep golden color.
Mistress, I think you are not well, the witch said cautiously. Come, let's visit the sisters and have them check your health. Oh, I feel fine.
Helen's eyes finally moved to look at the witch next to her.
And soon, so shall you.
With astonishing strength and speed, Helen grabbed the golden potion and thrust it into the witch's mouth. The witch sputtered, but was helpless as the golden potion entered her body. Her eyes rolled back into her head, and she collapsed.
Not quite there, Helen murmured as she gazed down at the potion. I need more test subjects. Meeting! Yes, there is a meeting. Plenty to prove my greatness to.
She picked up a bag of golden potions and slung them over her arm. She also grabbed a hidden piece of paper with golden lettering, storing it in her hat. She stepped over the fallen witch and left the room. Behind her, the witch opened her eyes, her irises replaced by a solid golden glow.
Kids, keep up, Fred barked as his long legs carried him down the streets of Iron Quarter.
Rowan and Millie chased after him, taking measured breaths as they followed the former adventurer.
Dad, slow down, Millie begged.
The less time we spend on the streets, the better, Fred muttered as his eyes scanned the buildings left and right. It isn't safe anymore for you two. It might not even be safe for me.
We know, Rowan complained as he jogged up to Fred's side. You've been muttering the same thing all morning. Please, Fred, slow down some.
In response, Fred snorted and grabbed the teens by the arms. Ignoring their cries of protest, he marched them down the middle of the street to the Adventurers Guild. He stopped once the three of them were safely inside, and only then did Fred let out a sigh of relief.
All right, you two, he began with his arms crossed. I'll be back when your class ends. Do not leave the guild until you are with me. If either of you sneak out, you both will be washing dishes for a week without pay or break time.
Yes, sir,
Rowan and Millie chorused together. A moment later, Gannis walked out of the hallway where the classroom was. He smiled pleasantly at Rowan and Millie, though his face could not hide the stress he was feeling.
Good, you are both safe, he said. Have no fear, Fred. There are no out-of-classroom lessons today, or any other day really, so rest assured that nothing bad will happen to them under my watch. Thank you for allowing them to continue to come here in these troubled times.
Fred shook Gannis's hand.
No, sir, thank you for agreeing to teach them. I feel much better knowing that a professional like yourself is watching over them and teaching them how to protect themselves.
Millie and Rowan walked away from the two adults, letting them exchange pleasantries.
Claire, are you there?
Rowan sent through the mind link.
I'm here, Claire answered. I'm still a little nervous, though. Don't be. All you need to do is locate the best tracking beasts for our purposes. No stealing, no talking, and no revealing yourself to a single human or elf. Once you find a suitable monster, note it down and we'll get it. Are you not still under watch? Claire asked. How will you acquire the monster if you can't take a step outside?
Rowan grunted softly.
Let's figure that out once you find the beast. Millie and I are going to go to class now. Good luck, Claire. Thanks. Good luck to you, too.
Rowan turned to Millie and whispered,
She's on her way.
Millie winked back at Rowan with a cheeky grin. Her eyes swiveled for a moment toward the receptionist desk, where Belle was seemingly minding her own business.
Which one, the blonde or the brunette?
Millie giggled quietly. Personally, I think Father is more inclined toward the receptionist with the large...
Belle reddened and quickly vanished. Rowan and Millie exchanged a devious laugh. Adults should know better than to eavesdrop on children.
"Rowan, Millie, follow me to the classroom," Gannis spoke up, his conversation with Fred finished.
The teens followed obediently into the table-filled room and took their seats.
"For today's lesson, I thought it would be appropriate to go over the various strengths and weaknesses of slime monsters," Gannis began, using his magic to levitate a piece of chalk to write on the board. "I'm sure you both are aware of what a slime is."
"Yes, sir," Millie said with her hand raised. "A slime is a monster originating from a magic core. The core uses mana to secrete a gel-like substance capable of melting down most things it engulfs into base elements, which the slime core can feed on."
"A completely correct answer, and one I did not expect to hear from you, Millie," Gannis chuckled as Millie pouted pitifully at him. "But yes, you are correct. Slime monsters are fairly unique monsters in our world. Rowan, why is that?"
"It is because, unlike every other monster, slimes have no animal ancestor," Rowan explained. "All animals, under the right magical circumstances, can evolve into a monster and gain a monster core. Their descendants will also be monsters. Some monsters are thought to have existed since the creation of the world, like dragons and phoenixes, and their bloodline has merged with many animals and monsters to create new species. Slimes are the exception because without a core, a slime dies. Thus, no animal can be considered its ancestor."
"Another complete answer. How exciting to hear from the both of you," Gannis laughed proudly. "Well, let's see if we can get 3 for 3. Why are slimes so difficult to create enchantments against?"
"I know," Millie called out. "It's because while normal slimes share the same acidic type attack, as slimes evolve into new forms, they radically change their attack and defense strengths. A poison slime will attack with poison-based attacks, but a bug slime will strike with physical attacks. In order to fight both, you'll need weapons and armor enchanted to fight both poison and blunt weapons. Depending on the environment, slimes are radically different."
"And once again, you are correct,"
Gannis nodded in satisfaction.
"Slimes are indeed some of the most unique monsters on the continent, and likely the three worlds, too. They can evolve in any direction, depending on what they eat. However, every slime suffers from the same weaknesses: removal of the core, or magic."
"What about slimes that lack a core, like the oozes and the gelatinous slimes?" Millie asked curiously.
"Those slimes sacrifice their core to attain an almost immunity toward certain types of attacks, but both are extremely weak to fire magic as a result. Without a solid core, they lack the ability to quickly replenish their slime once it is destroyed. Now, how to remove the core is a..."
"Tracking monster, tracking monster, tracking monster," Claire hummed as she flew over the wooden palisade that separated the Elven District from Tent City.
She grimaced as the familiar fey magic in the air began to speak with her.
"Ugh, I don't like fey magic," she muttered as she cast a tiny barrier on her skin. "Give me Doc's warm, comfortable magic power any day."
Upon reaching the district, she flew back down to roof level and began her search. She checked each street that she came across, choosing to hide until no one was around, before flying to the next roof. While she doubted any normal elf could see her while she was invisible, she had no desire to risk it.
"Hi, Claire!"
Doc's voice rang in her mind, scaring the poor pixie as she stumbled mid-flight and slammed headfirst into a roof.
"I missed talking to you." "I missed you too, Doc."
Claire couldn't help a small smile from growing onto her face, even when it hurt.
"But is something wrong? I thought we agreed to only communicate in an emergency." "We did, but I know you were hiding a little from me. I guessed you'd be fine, so I let you out.
wanted a little freedom from me, did you? Doc teased her.
Claire giggled. Well, I would be lying if I said I haven't enjoyed my little vacation. The outside world is filled with lots of interesting things, and a lot of dangers, too.
At least the adventurers are gone, Doc agreed with her. Well, honestly, I've been enjoying my vacation from you, too.
Claire raised an eyebrow. Oh, so you wanted me to leave? Wait, Doc, what did you do?
Nothing. I mean, nothing bad, Doc quickly corrected himself. The girls and I were just, experimenting with some cool ideas. Since the dungeon is empty, I figured it would be all right to do some experiments on floor 26.
Doc, Claire sighed, are you telling me you created an entirely new floor after I left just to test new ideas that I might think are too much?
Yes.
Good for you, Claire announced happily. You are absolutely correct in doing this. As a dungeon crystal, you should always take advantage of dead periods of time to experiment with new ideas to better protect yourself and improve your dungeon. Why waste an opportunity when you can spend your mana at your leisure?
Wow, I really thought you'd be mad at me, Doc wondered.
Claire shrugged. It's easy to forget that we have an equal relationship when I have acted as your tutor for so long. My role as your dungeon pixie is to teach you, but in the end, it's your choice on how you want to behave. My only desire is to have a safe home to live my life with. I'm not like other members of my family or the other high dungeon pixie families.
Oh, have you remembered more lost memories? Doc asked cheerfully.
Somewhat. Claire rubbed her head thoughtfully. I think I'll be fully recovered before the year is over.
That's great, Doc said comfortingly.
Oh, what are you up to now?
I'm looking for a tracking beast, Claire said on reflex, before clapping her hands over her mouth.
A tracking beast? Why? Doc asked.
To track something? Claire's smile wavered as her fears began pressing down on her again.
Boo, Claire. I can feel you not telling me everything. What's wrong?
With a sniffle, as all her worries and pain came to the front of her mind, Claire began to regale Doc with a story of what she had gone through while in the dungeon town. How the murders were getting worse. How the guards were worried about the dungeon. How the prince planned to discuss options to destroy Doc. And how she had been chased by a pie-wielding maniac. Claire was crying by the end, her sniffles echoing through the mind link. Doc was silent for a long moment.
Claire, do you need my help? He finally asked her.
I wish I could have your help, Doc, she muttered. But you can't come into the town without scaring everyone.
Doc said nothing. Claire wiped her eyes and threw her fists into the air above her head, a determined look on her face.
Have no fear, Doc, because I'm going to save you with the help of Rowan and Millie. We'll track down this rogue slime and prove your innocence once and for all.
In the dungeon, Doc's crystal turned a bright purple as happiness flooded his spirit.
Thank you, Claire, he said. You're the best dungeon pixie a dungeon can have as a partner.
And don't you forget it, Claire declared. Now, I'm going to search this entire district for the best tracking monster, even if it kills me.
Try to avoid that last bit, please.
Chapter 17.
No! Stay away!
Claire screamed as she flew as fast as she could. Behind her, a slobbering dog chased after her, barking excitedly as its eyes seemed to lock on a new favorite toy.
Bad dog! Stay away, doggy! Claire pleaded.
Woof! Woof! The dog barked at her, as if telling her to give up and accept her fate.
No!
In the midst of her escapade, Rowan's voice echoed in her mind.
Claire, we're almost done with class for today. Did you find a tracking beast? Help me, Rowan! The doggy is trying to eat me! Claire cried out.
After a moment's pause, Rowan said,
Have you tried flying to a roof where it can't reach you?
Feeling the heat blossom onto her face, Claire stopped flying on street level and flew up to the nearest roof. The dog barked sorrowfully, as it could only watch its prey fly out of reach. It seemed to be cursing its lack of wings. Claire fell onto her hands and knees as she panted in exhaustion. Her beautifully striped wings twitted back and forth as the fatigue began to set in her back. Finally, she carefully positioned her wings so she could lie on her back without hurting them.
"Rowan, have you ever wanted to have wings?" Claire whispered. "I suppose at one point in my life I did. Why do you ask?" "Because right now, if I could, I'd give you my wings," Claire muttered to the sky. "They are a constant weight on my back and cause me so many problems. The two together weigh a fourth of my total weight. If I lie down wrong, I run the chance of tearing or breaking them, which is both painful and sometimes crippling. I doubt anyone with six appendages would be able to survive without magic." "Ah," Rowan mumbled, "that does sound like quite a bit of work. But, about my previous inquiry?" "Hmm?" Claire scrunched up her face in thought. "Oh, right, the tracking beast. I found three stables where tracking beasts are rented, but it looks like most of them have already been given out. I'm not too sure there will be any left by the time you get here."
"I see," Rowan said calmly.
"Well, in any case, Millie and I are going to meet with the Guildmaster in a moment to plead our case. After that, we'll get Fred to take us to Olaf's blacksmith shop to pick up Millie's daggers. We'll meet you at home."
"All right, good luck," Claire sighed. She got up and peeked over the side of the roof. Below her, the dog was looking up at her, its eyes alert and playful.
"How can you see me when I'm invisible?" Claire wondered out loud. "Hey, go away!"
"Woof, woof," said the dog.
It wagged its tail.
"And that's the end of today's lesson," Gannis announced. "Do either of you have any questions?"
Millie and Rowan exchanged a look and grinned.
"No, sir,"
they chorused together. Gannis grimaced. His two pupils had been oddly knowledgeable over the topic of slimes. He had been prepared to walk them through the basics of fighting against slimes, just in case, but in the end, he had been forced to abandon the effort and return to lecturing about the various forces of the Empire.
"In that case, consider today's lesson ended," Gannis grumbled as he grabbed his notes and opened the classroom door. "Millie's father has insisted on taking you both home, so wait in the lobby until he arrives. Good day, children."
After the door shut, Millie looked over at Rowan.
"Ready to meet the Guildmaster?" she asked. "This is our one chance," Rowan clenched his fist. "Let's do our best to persuade her."
The two exited the classroom and returned to the lobby. It was as dead as when they arrived, as every adventurer was out on their mission. Millie skipped over to the receptionist desk.
"Hi, Belle," she said cheerfully. "We'd like to see the Guildmaster." "I'm sorry, children," Belle shook her head, "but the Guildmaster is in an important meeting right now. If she finishes before your father arrives, then I'll let her know you're waiting to see her."
Millie turned her head to look questioningly at Rowan. Rowan shrugged and gave her a thumbs up. With an evil smirk, Millie turned her attention back to Belle, who looked confused after watching the teens interact.
"Hey, Belle, can I ask you a question?" Millie asked cutely. "Do you think I'm pretty?"
"Your Highness," Mary greeted with a bow. "It is my pleasure to welcome you to my office. What can I help you with today?"
Prince James returned the greeting with a small bow of his own. "I thank you, Guildmaster, for allowing me to enter your office."
"Stop that," Mary frowned. "As a future king, it is beneath you to bow for anyone, even those stronger than you. Your princely instincts are still ingrained in your body, I see."
"Please spare me the lessons," James said with a tired smile. "I've only known you for, what, 12 years now? Was it not you with Guildmaster Vance who attended me and my brother's 10th birthday? I recall those few months learning the art of the blade and magic from you and Vance."
Mary sighed. Indeed, those days were so long ago, back when I was learning how to lead a guild. Even one as long-lived as I need a teacher for new things, and Vance was one of the best. I still cannot believe he has fallen, but I am pleased he did not succumb to the enemy's magic. She shook her head. But that was then, and so much has changed. You are king now, with your parents, brother, and sister dead. Are your other sisters handling it well?
They spend their days cooking and cleaning, though they are not good at either. They have thrown themselves at any task, so long as it distracts them from the horrors of reality. After all, Diana was my only sister who enjoyed battle, and I'm afraid that my sisters will break under the stress.
While I wish to continue this nostalgic conversation, I'm sure Your Highness did not come here for mere small talk.
Mary rubbed her head ruefully.
Tell me, what has happened?
My guards have confirmed the murderer's identity as that of a slime, James replied evenly. My counsel is advising me to take action against the dungeon.
Mary grimaced and groaned, her hand rubbing her head harder. Are you completely sure? There is no mistake? She asked.
No mistake, Guildmaster. The substance used to melt the necks was confirmed to be an acidic substance consistent with slime acid. In addition, before I came to you today, my men hired many tracking beasts throughout the city and used them to follow the scent of the murderer. They located 5 holes hidden throughout Iron Town, the closest part of this town to the dungeon. My mages confirmed the presence of dungeon magic deep within the holes.
Mary tapped her fingers on her desk and thought, So, you think the dungeon has become corrupted and has begun to move its attack from inside itself toward the townspeople? Why?
I believe the reason is fairly obvious, James said pointedly. I recently sent every adventurer on the mission with the Rangers. Before that, the adventurer casualty rate had decreased dramatically in recent times, has it not? Its source of food gone, the dungeon was forced to seek alternate means to continue to eat. The Tavern Massacre is only the first of such tragedies.
I will admit, the timing of the adventurer's departure and the escalation of attacks is suspicious, Mary acknowledged. But it is also quite the coincidence. Given our current situation, there are many parties who would benefit from both the destruction of the dungeon and the weakening of our forces. Tell me, are your men anywhere near equipped and trained to fight against a horde of slimes in tight corridors?
No, James admitted, which is one of the reasons why I came to see you.
Mary chuckled and leaned back into her chair. Why do you need to come to me? You've already taken every single one of my adventurers into your army and sent them on a mission that, frankly, I deem worthless to the protection of the town. What can I do?
Mary, I didn't...
Didn't what?
Mary's fist slammed down onto the desk, startling James.
Didn't mean to subvert my authority and send my adventurers on a suicidal mission to an enemy-controlled town with minimal supplies and preparation? Or, perhaps, you didn't mean to remove the guards who were guarding the town and replace them with your own men who can't seem to ever be at the right place at the right time. And now you have the gall to come to me to ask for my help in planning the destruction of what could be our best and only ally? That dungeon has worked with us before. Or have your spies not been reporting properly to you? Has your little spy mistress been keeping secrets?
Leave her out of this, James shouted. I don't care how you treat me in private, but don't you dare slander my friends. They...
Friends? Friends? Mary laughed sadistically. Oh, James, anyone in the city can tell you how your so-called friends really are. Alfred is an opportunistic snake. Annabella is his willing lapdog, and Josh is the attack dog on a short leash. Don't tell me you forgot how they abandoned Fiora for you when you asked.
We were young.
James instantly deflated as he tried to defend himself.
I was just messing around with her. I didn't mean to cause her to get thrown out. It wasn't
your fault, right? I'm sure that's what everyone tells you these days, Mary scoffed. Allow me to tell you, Your Highness, that as former royalty myself, that is just not true. Being a king isn't all luxury and riches. It's about responsibility. Your mistakes will come back to haunt you. Everyone will whisper when you do something wrong. And when you cross the line, no one will come forward to save you. Your sister understood that better than anyone else, as did your father.
They are dead, James yelled at her, his fury renewed. They're gone, and now I have to pick up where they left off. I need to protect my people.
You need to make your own decisions, Mary roared back at him. Instead of letting others decide things for you, you need to man up and be a king. This is your role now.
The two of them breathed hard as they stared across the table at each other.
If you've come for my help in destroying the dungeon, you don't have it, Mary said, suddenly calm. A dungeon willing to seek an avatar in your sister, and one that allied against an invading dungeon, is one I do not believe would turn on us so easily. If your culprit really is a slime, then find its true identity. I won't condone wasteful slaughter.
James took a deep breath as he locked eyes with Mary. He stood up and opened his mouth to reply, but a crash from the open doorway stopped him short. Mary and James whirled about to find a collapsed Millie and Rowan.
We aren't the slimes you're looking for?
Millie smiled awkwardly. Mary glared at the teens in front of her.
How much did you hear?
Enough,
Rowan grimaced as he helped Millie to her feet.
We were on our way to talk to you about the slime issue ourselves, but it appears the prince already tracked down its lair. We'll be leaving now. My apologies.
Hold, Prince James ordered, causing the two youngsters to freeze in place. Who are you both?
These little spies are my two newest disciples, Millie and Rowan, Mary explained. I'm quite curious to hear why they have been investigating a hazardous situation. I'm also interested to hear how they got past the receptionist desk.
James's eyes flashed in recognition as he beheld the two sheepish children before him. Mary's disciples, are you? Well, what say you about the murders?
Rowan locked eyes with the prince. The dungeon isn't to blame. It's a wild slime.
Do you have any proof? James asked.
None that you'd believe.
Is that so? James pondered. Well, thank you for your insight, young one.
Responsibility has no age limit, Rowan said dutifully. However, knowing when to listen is a sign of maturity.
The tension grew palpable in the room as the two parties glared at each other. Millie looked uneasy as she backed away from Rowan. Respect for your elders is a core value, James cautioned.
The wisdom of youth shouldn't be discounted, Rowan argued back.
Mary coughed awkwardly.
Well, if you two are finished comparing each other's smooth tongues, you children should get going before your father finds you missing from the main hall. Off you go.
Millie pulled Rowan's arm until the two were out of sight. James collapsed back into his chair, an odd look on his face. You said that boy is your disciple? He asked Mary. She nodded.
Yes, he has immense magical talent. I look forward to the day he realizes his true potential.
With a wry grin, James slowly scratched his head.
He argues just like my sister.
She and I would get into the worst tirades when I tried to tell her what to do.
How curious. Diana was a special child, Mary agreed. And she is sorely missed by me and Fiora.
And me, James whispered quietly. The dungeon is her grave, and I have no wish to disturb it, but what can I do? I must protect the legacy of my parents and their people. Mary smiled sadly.
That's the most truth you've said since you entered my office.
Mary stared at the prince in thought before moving over to her shelf. She pulled out a blue folder.
Prince James, would you take a look at these findings with me? I think you should be made aware of something.
Claire, Millie, and Rowan all collapsed onto the floor in Millie's room.
I got berated by Daddy and Bella.